This is Fight Back with Bob Fitragus and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
And this is Bob Fitragus. We're in the studio with James Moore. Not that long ago, he was keeping console open. He appears to have given up on that idea, or he's got a new idea. Keep them open by expanding them. James, you're working, as I am, for full disclosure, with the Charter Reform Group. And what's that name?
We are the Columbus Coalition for Responsive Government.
The Columbus Coalition for Responsive Government. Indeed. And how would this charter change go over it for the listeners? Well, what are you proposing?
We are proposing a change in Columbus, in the Columbus Charter, which will revamp Columbus City Council. What we want to do is expand it to 11 members and change the 7 at-large members to districted seats, and then keep 4 at-large seats. So we're going to have 7 districts within the city, so neighborhoods get representation, and then we're going to have 4 at-large, so we don't go all parochial and have a bunch of infighting and keep the interests of the city as a whole still in mind. And we are out gathering signatures as I speak to get this on the ballot.
And how many signatures do you need?
We need about 11,500 signatures, so...
And how do you anticipate they're going to take this at City Hall? They've got a really good political machine there. You've got Boss Komen and his henchman, Andy Ginther. In the old days, that's what they would be. But now it's just a one-party system. And it really does seem to be locked up. Do you really think you can take on the powers that be that are very heavily entrenched?
I think we can. We dealt with these folks during the Issue 12 campaign, and they won, but it cost them $50,000. We spent $500 and got 70,000 votes, and they had to make the ballot language confusing so that a so that
no
people
means yes.
were confused. Yeah, and a no means a yes, and all of that. So. So I think since they have to resort to cheating and all sorts of other tactics, not to sound like sour grapes, but I think good at a good machine, that's a little giving them a little bit too much credit. I think they've become fat and lax and overconfident, and I think they're about to get a rude awakening.
Cool.
Okay, Connie said cool.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like that...
rude awakening.
the ballot language and having really misleading ballot language is a pretty common tactic that groups use. So how did they get the ballot language? Why didn't you get to write it? Do you know?
Well, they're the ones who proposed it, so they got to write the ballot language.
Yeah, literally it wasn't an initiative from the citizens. It was a referendum.
From the council.
City council,
okay. Mm-hmm.
Where if you wanted to close the council for the first time in history, is that you were making it open and compliant with state law.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, closing it meant open, no meant yes.
Mm, yeah.
And now you've got a proposal of a charter that hasn't been revised since 1914. How are you going to respond when we say that the other side says... It's working fine. Why mess with it? Columbus is the only city in Ohio that's growing.
Well, we've got a lot of responses to that. First of all, of the 50 largest cities in the country, only 3 of them have at-large systems, one of which is Detroit. We know how they're doing. We've got some Detroit natives in the room, no offense, but Detroit is not exactly a place you want to move to right now. Seattle's another one, but our closest city and one that Columbus tries to model itself after is actually Austin, Texas. Austin's doing pretty well. They've got a mix at large and districted council. They're 6-1, 6 districts, 1 at large. So I think we're kind of behind the times here. You know, this was something that Professor Petrakis talks about that was done actually to disenfranchise people in 1914, and it's disenfranchising people now. We've got neighborhoods, especially Old Town East, that have lots of murders, issues with crime, things like that, and city council members are too important and too busy to even return emails from their constituents. I make the quotation marks in the air because we really know who their constituents are. It's the folks at the Dispatch and Nationwide and everybody who has an ownership interest in most of the big money things in the city, like, you know, our $80 million and a whole Columbus Blue Jackets that we all own.
Well, there are four families there. Pizzuti, the Cranes, the Wolves, and, of course, those that are associated with the McConnells, associated with Columbus business. So four of the most powerful families in the city. I take it you're alluding to the deal. Wasn't it a good deal that we bailed out the arena?
No.
Wasn't there a vigorous discussion, debate raged on all sides in city council?
Yeah, the 6-0 vote. The one member who abstained was Councilman Klein, who happens to be an attorney with the firm that was negotiating the deal in the first place. So,
yep, conflict of interest.
Yeah, so he said, I've got a conflict of interest. I would argue that the actual conflict of interest was appointing him to council in the first place. But, you know, that's another issue to deal with, where we've got these constant appointments to council, and then they pretend that they're incumbents and that they actually win elections, which isn't really, you know. There's 25,000 people in Columbus who like Ginther enough to vote
for him. They don't say re-elect the first time. They say retain Michael Komen. Mm-hmm. Didn't it work well before when they appointed a corporate lawyer, Michael Komen, from Schottenstein, Zox, and Dunn?
Well, you know, I voted for Mayor Komen twice, and that was enough. The third time, I'm not into mayors for life, you know. And, I mean, people retain water, too, and that's not necessarily pleasant. So, you know, I wouldn't argue about that. So
it could be a feisty campaign.
I'm ready for a fight, you know. I think they're kind of afraid of us, to be honest with you.
So this year, I didn't vote for Komen. I didn't vote for the cop. I actually voted for Bob Petrakis.
Well, all right.
It's funny.
Maybe he came in third.
I wrote Bob in as a city council candidate.
Cool.
And but then, according to the internal polling that I did, I actually pulled ahead of Bob. I got 2-1 on city council.
Yeah,
so
I think I had a few in the mayor's race.
Bob was distracted by the mayor.
Mayor's race. So, you know.
So, how do you sell this to the people of Columbus? You're going to, when they start saying, do you want us to be like Cleveland?
Well, we've never, ever compared ourselves to Cleveland. I can't think of a time that Columbus has ever.
They've got too many professional sports teams.
Well, we use professional loosely there, too. But, you know, no offense, Browns fans. But, you know, I dropped a couple of, I kept dropping stuff today. I thought I could have been a receiver for the Browns today. But, you know, we're not like Cleveland. Cleveland's an old industrial city. Columbus has always been the state capital. It's been more of a service-oriented economy. It's comparing apples and oranges. And so to compare us to Cleveland doesn't really work. The thing that I would ask citizens is, you know, how do you like owning a hockey team that's going to be gone in a few years? You know, but we've got the bonds on the arena don't expire until 2039. So
they actually don't own the team. All they're doing
is we're just bailing
subsidizing
out the
arena.
Yeah.
Or another word for welfare.
Yeah, exactly. Corporate welfare. You know, we're taking money from a casino, which was supposed to help the city by providing revenues to the city's general fund, which was going to hire code enforcement officers and police officers and firefighters and go to improving city infrastructure and things like that, which everybody agrees is good with. And now they're saying, well, we can't use those funds for that because we've got this hockey team that's in trouble.
Oh, geez.
Which the voters of the city turned down twice when it came to public funding for this hockey team anyway. So it obviously shows that they don't have any respect, again, for their constituents, quotation marks in the air. And I think people are going to be fed up with it. We've already got local business owners who are donating to the cause, and I think it's just going to keep going. So
So how else can people get involved if somebody hears this radio show and they say, hey, I want to get involved with that? Is there, you know, are there opportunities for that? Can you tell people how to donate or how to help with signatures?
There's plenty of opportunities. We're having signature gathering trainings the next three Saturdays, I believe. I think we're taking this Saturday off because it's the Thanksgiving holiday and the Michigan game. But we're having the first two weekends in December. We're going to have trainings at 10 a.m. In the Carriage House of 1021 East Broad. We are also going to have folks out this weekend at Easton and Eastland Mall and Great Southern Shopping Center gathering signatures. We've got a website, columbuscoalition.info, where you can sign up to be a volunteer. We've got a bank account set up. You can donate directly from the website. It's growing.
What's that web address?
It's columbuscoalition.info.
Columbuscoalition.info. So if people want to make donations, they can go online.
Yes.
Great.
Yep. And we've like I said, we've been getting donations from local businesses and folks since we had our first public meeting last Wednesday. So I think there's going to be a groundswell of support for this.
Now, why would somebody in the city support this? You know, the rhetoric from the Komen campaign, everything's going fine. Columbus is a great place to live, raise your kids. Why should we change it?
Well, you know, Columbus, I'm a Columbus resident. I love Columbus. I've lived here my entire life, and I want to continue to live here. I think we're doing well, but we could do better. We have a city council that decided to meet the minimum standards of state code with issue 12. I think this minimalism, this, oh, let's do just what we need to get by, is not the way to go. I also think that city government needs to be responsive to all of its citizens and not just the ones who fund their campaign. You know, we've got a mayor who spent, what, $580,000 of his campaign money on drinks and travel and other entertainment expenses. So, I mean, basically this is tax-free income to our elected officials. That's not exactly a good way to run things. I think we need folks who are rooted in the neighborhoods, who understand what goes on, who know what the business owners and the people in that particular neighborhood need and want, what the needs of that are, who know their constituents. And city council doesn't know its constituents now. Right now, every city council member has 780,000 constituents. Probably only 20 or 30 of them they really, truly care about. So
it seems like this just broadens access, you know, for the citizens to communicate with their council members and also maybe to run for council, maybe get some more variety in there, and you'll have less sweetheart deals and less unanimous votes. You know, it's good to see boards able to get along and make decisions, but on the other hand, you don't want them too unanimous.
Right.
Because, you know, it's good to have a dialogue. It's good to have a conversation about issues. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things, and people kind of cringe when I say this, but in the last campaign, I pointed this out, there was actually more dissension under Communist Party Congresses under the Stalin regime than there are under in Columbus City Council. You know, so we've got this one-party system that agrees on everything. They meet behind closed doors and make sweetheart deals for local business, for not local businesses, big, giant corporate
big
businesses,
you know. Like nationwide.
They work for the 1% of Columbus. And
a little Occupy rhetoric. Are you saying this is that the current city council and mayor may be in the pocket of the 1%?
I think we have a political class problem in Columbus, and I think the political class in Columbus is not into the interests of the average person on the street in Columbus.
But isn't that the way it's always been? People with a lot of money use that money to stay rich?
Sometimes. Sometimes, but I think we can do better.
Yeah.
I think we can.
Well, and when there are rules set up and we have a democracy, we can kind of, you know, the people can manipulate those rules to get what we want. And,
right.
You know, the people can come together and, you know, try to fight that economic power and also try to have some for ourselves as well.
Right. I mean, 25,000 people voted for Andy Ginther in the last election. That means 1 in 30 people in Columbus actually thought enough of Andy Ginther to go tick and take the effort, that immense effort, to hit that little glowy button on their voting machine and say, well, Andy Ginther's the guy for me. I mean, you know, we've got this Gintherization of council. You've got all these non-entities straight up from the president of council to all of the people under him. I mean, they don't even follow their own rules. They steal their mother's handicap spots. They take loans from lobbyists. You know, they grow very impressive mustaches and talk a lot and don't say anything. So, you know, we...
This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
Okay, what do you mean by the Gintherization of council?
Well, you know, you can sort of see this pattern that takes place in Columbus politics, right? You start off with this party loyalist and they appoint them to school board, or they get elected to school board, or they're appointed to school board. And then
Andy Ginther appointed to school board?
Maybe. Yeah, I think he might have
been.
Well,
at least he didn't use it as a stepping stone to move up the council.
Well, you know, then they pull them from school board to council, and then they're on council, and they start, you know, they sit under the tutelage and the wings of another, you know, relatively slightly more entity on council. You know, for Ginther it was Coleman, and you know, the immensity of Mike Mintel, you know, another towering power in the city. And then all of a sudden he comes up, and I mean, the next thing you know, Ginther is funding the campaigns of every council member out there. I mean, Herschel Craig only raised $8,000 on his own, from what I understand, you know. So Andy Ginther is pulling all the strings and everything. You know, he does commercials, he stands up there and talks with three puppets, you know, and then it turns out that he's just a puppet with a wolf hand up his butt, you know. It's just ridiculous. So,
and who would these wolves be?
Well, they're a 10% owner in the arena, in the Blue Jackets. They also own most of the media in Columbus, like Channel 10, the other paper, the Dispatch, and everything like
Alive.
That. Alive. Yeah, Alive. They're very good at quashing voices, you know? It's like I'm partly afraid that when I walk out of here, a Dispatch truck's going to back over me, you know?
So, you want people from the Hilltop to get elected to council? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't have a problem with
people from the South
Hilltop.
Side.
Yeah, Southsiders, maybe folks from Linden, you know, maybe a different folk from Clintonville, not exactly Andy Ginther, maybe somebody with an opinion of their own. You know, West Siders, North Siders, South Siders, real East Siders who don't forget where they came from, you know, people like that.
So any idea where everybody else is from who's currently on City Council? Where do they live? Do they even live in Columbus?
they're required to live in Columbus. So, okay. Yeah, we've got that. But, you know, a big chunk of them are kind of in the same geographical area, you know? So.
Yeah, I remember it was one of the oddest things ever. A few years back when there was talk of people running for mayors, Dewey Stokes, and bringing Buck Reinhardt back, both of them pointed out they could move back in the city. I've never been in a city where you kind of move out to the suburbs and go, I could move back in and be the mayor. Usually most cities get a little resentful when you move out. But who's being underrepresented, right? And the only reason you'd go to a district system is that give me an example of somebody being – some neighborhood being underrepresented.
Well, it's not just neighborhoods. It's demographic groups. I mean, you know, as far as I know, there's no West Siders on the council. There's no South Enders. Craig lives on the Near East Side. I think Mills lives in the Near East Side. Troy Miller is an East Sider, I believe. Paley's an East Sider, right? So a bunch of them. Zach Klein lives in a nice, trendy apartment or condo or something in the short north with all of his hipster buddies. They're not really representative. They're not out there in the city. And it's not just areas, it's groups. We don't have any Latinos on city council. There's no gays or lesbians. You know, it's ridiculous. There are huge groups that consistently need help from the city and need representation in the city, and the city just kind of thumbs their noses. They pay lip service to helping them, but they don't really. And we also don't have a socioeconomic distinction too. There's a
meaning.
Hardly any low-income people. There are a lot of neglected neighborhoods in Columbus. And I think what you're telling me is a lot of the council members live close to each other on the Near East Side and maybe other places. But there are significant areas of, like, places that are neglected in Columbus.
So oh, yeah.
Maybe this system would help... help us have a stronger city because we have stronger neighborhoods.
Right. And that's one of the things. The city needs to be brought together. You know, this is sort of the politics of divide and conquer. You turn area commissions against each other, you turn neighborhoods against each other, and have them fight over the table scraps that the powers that be are willing to give them. And I'm tired of driving through my neighborhood in North Linden and having to dodge potholes and seeing sidewalks that aren't taken care of and having no streetlights and everything. You know, Old Town East has had a rash of murders since the summer and nobody's paid any attention to it. The South Side has been in decline for a long, long time. And it's just something that the city doesn't pay attention to. They build condos downtown, you know? And I think we really need a change. I really do.
Isn't going to cost a lot more money? You're expanding the size of council.
You know, that's one of the things they talk about. And they're like, oh, no, it's going to increase the size. I honestly don't think so, because the burden of council members is going to go down. Right now, every council member is responsible for 780,000 citizens. Now they're going to be responsible for 113,000 or so citizens, depending on what the population numbers are when we do the reapportionment of the city. And that's going to make them more responsive. It's going to make it easier. You know, one of the things is there's an economics to running for office. You know, it's hard to run for office because it costs a lot of money. To run an effective citywide campaign, you generally need about $150,000. Well, I point out to my students, they're like, well, that's not that much money. I said, well, how many of you have 15 friends who will give you $10,000? Or 150 friends who will give you a grand? You know, or 1,500 friends who will give you $100.
Yeah, most people don't even have that many. If I did, I'd have my student loan paid off.
So. Yeah, I mean, most people don't even have that many Facebook friends, you know? So there's a problem there. And if you break it down into a district system, you make politics back into that good old-fashioned thing where somebody can actually walk around. They can talk to people and say, these are the ideas I have for our neighborhood and our city. And instead of just towing a line that never really says anything anyway. Sort of a noise machine.
So you're talking about more independence then? The council will be more independent? But will it be more responsive?
It should be more responsive. If you've got somebody in your district that's going to live in your district and eats at the restaurant in your district and you see them and they know that you're going to vote that they can or cannot, that you can or cannot vote them out of office. You know, this is somebody that's going to want to talk to you and hear what you have to say. It's going to make them a lot more responsive. I think it's really funny. Every time council starts to get a little nervous, you see them do sort of this world tour of the city. Oh, we're going to go to the library and we're going to talk to people at 5 p.m. from 5 to 5:30. And, you know, look, we've done a litmus test to the public and nobody shows up at our public meetings, which we hold when everybody's still at work or stuck in the traffic on 71. You know, it's one of these things. I think splitting council up into districts will make them a lot more responsive because they have to be. And they're also going to be invested because these are people that they live with. These are their neighbors. These could be their friends and family and everything like that too. So they will be invested.
Seems like an awful lot of signatures. What's your timetable?
We are hoping to get things together by the primary.
Which?
Whichever one.
Primaries.
Well, it's still kind of whichever one, March or June. You know, I don't think it really matters. Yeah, we'll see which one we get to. But I don't think I think if we get it on in one of the primaries, we're being pretty successful going around getting that many signatures in a pretty short amount of time. Especially considering that most of the time we're going to be getting signatures, it's going to be not pleasant outside. So.
What's the coalition going to look like? Is it going to really be a vast coalition, like the one named VAST that stopped the funding of the public funding of the arena, which now apparently we have?
Well, council and the powers that be are going to try and say that this is a Republican plot. I've been accused of many things, but being a Republican has never been – well, since I got out of college, being a Republican has not been one of them. There's not Republicans and everything hiding behind the rocks trying to take over the city. Although we do want Republicans in this coalition because we want everybody to have a voice. I mean, one of the problems with council is that we haven't had a Republican on council since the 90s. This means
nobody to fight against.
Yeah, there's nobody. There's nobody to fight
against. Skip the Republicans. Let's go right to a Libertarian on the right.
Well, you know, if we get a Libertarian on there, that's great because at least it's somebody to keep the powers that be honest and say, look, you can't do this. It's an opposing viewpoint. It encourages dialogue and thinking outside the box. Right now, you know, there's a box shaped like Andy Ginther's head that everybody pulls ideas out of, you know?
I mean,
mostly it's rocks, you know, and every once in a while there's this nugget that says, hey, I'm an idea. Play with me. You know, it's just ridiculous. So...
All right. Who else you've got?
Well, we've got Greens.
It's true enough.
Yeah, we've got Greens.
I'm with you. I'm green.
Yeah. And I'm a green right now too. Due to the quirks of our primary system, yeah, when I voted for a friend of mine who was running for Congress, we've got Dems. In fact, everybody who. The five initial signatories to our petition, all of them were Democrats, Independents, or Greens. So I don't think you can say this is an attack from the right on the city council.
Plot, yeah.
No, this is attack from the people on the left who are tired of this sense that we're the cool kids and you have to do what we say. You know?
The cool. Self-prescribed cool kids.
Yeah.
Mayor Coleman and Anthony Ginther there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Mayor Coleman does have a very impressive mustache.
Well, James, you know. Thanks for being our guest and for promoting democracy in Columbus. Mm-hmm. That website again?
It is columbuscoalition.info.
And so people can go to this website, columbuscoalition.info, and get more information about changes to the city charter and, opening up the opportunity for more seats.
Mm-hmm. There's volunteer forms. There's information. The actual charter language is on there and everything. So any information you need is right there. So,
are you anticipating that they're going to come after your language? If they're as powerful as you indicate, and they may very well be, aren't you afraid they're going to try to squeeze your coalition?
I think they'll try and squeeze a little bit, but the more signatures we get, the less chance they have to call us into question. So I think that's one of the things that people really need to understand. If you really want this change and you're really supportive of it, and I think people in Columbus are, sign the petitions. If we turn in 25, 30, even 50,000 signatures, they are not going to be able to turn us down.
What if they raise the slogan, 100 more years?
No. No.
Work for 100 years, why not 100 more?
Mm-hmm. Things tend to be less agile and a little
what
outmoded
next?
At 100.
Cultural diversity?
Yeah. Well, you know, diversity is a good thing, and that's what we're trying to push for.
All right. Any thoughts there, Connie? You're kind of a pro-diversity woman.
Yeah, I'm pro-diversity. So, well, I think it's a great idea. So thanks.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And everybody who's listening, I guess there's still Occupy Columbus stuff going on in the neighborhood, in downtown and on campus. So
hey, who knows? Maybe we can get a council person who actually stands with the Occupy movement.
Yeah. I've heard that that would be very popular. You know, if there was, you know, we could maybe get some new candidates. This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
Change the charter.
Well, thanks for having me. Remember columbuscoalition.info.